It's time to open up our Bibles to Exodus chapter 2. Children, I hope that you have the goods that you need. You're going to hear the Bible story that I was referring to, where this baby Moses is put into a river and then and taken out of the river. If you've never heard this story before, it's pretty cool. It's a true story because this is God's true word. And so as y'all are opening up, I hope you have your Bibles before you. Open up to Exodus 2. If not, in just a moment, Ryan will put those words on the screen. But for those who have your Bibles and are opening up, while y'all are opening there, by way of introduction for this Bible text this morning, this world is confusing, right? There are very good times. There are very bad times. There are some in-between times. There are some bright times and some dark times where we can really tell what's going on or where we really feel like we are lost, like we have no clue what in the world is happening. All of this is playing itself out. And yet, as I was preparing for this Bible passage to preach from it, to proclaim God's word, I kept thinking about two other pieces of scripture, Psalm 139 and James chapter 1. For anybody who has been sick in the hospital or in spiritual need in the past year, I'm certain that you will remember Psalm 139 when I say it. It's that passage that I have read so many times because it's just been stuck in my brain and in my heart, where God says, even through the psalmist, even when it's dark as night, God can still have light. Even when it's dark, the darkness is as light to the Lord. It's just light all the time. And that's what we see in James chapter 1 too. Even in the darkness, even when we think everything around us is changing, we have a Father of lights with whom there is no variance or change due to shadows. There's no change where we think, whoa, was that a movement and it catches our eye? No, there is absolute solidness as we see who the Lord is and his goodness and his grace and his mercy. This world, there's a lot of different things happening. And I hope that you saw that confession of faith. What is the providence of the Lord? What does that mean? And that answer that it's God's most holy, wise, and powerful, preserving and governing all his creatures, ordering them and all their actions to his own glory. That moment where even in the darkness, we see that God is working. That's the main point of today's Bible passage. Our main point is that God is working in all circumstances. He's working in my circumstance and he's working in your circumstance. Even this morning, we'll see it in our Bible passage today. Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Let me pray for the reading of the word and then we'll read it. Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask you by your Holy Spirit that you would bless this reading of the word. Lord, without you, they're just words on a piece of paper. And yet with you, Lord, and because your Holy Spirit moves and acts through this word, it pierces us and shows us who we are and the need that we have and your answering of that need. All of that is found in your word because of your Holy Spirit. And so God, I pray by your Spirit, give us eyes to see this morning. Give us ears to hear this morning. Change us, Lord, this morning. May we be different after the hearing of this word and the proclamation of it. Only you can do it. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Exodus chapter 2, starting with verse 1. We'll read through verse 10. Now a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes and dabbed it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the riverbank. And his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. Now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, while her young women walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant woman, and she took it. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, The baby was crying. She took pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the girl went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I'll give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. When the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses because, she said, "I drew him out of the water." The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord, it stands forever. It remains because our God has chosen this to be the vessel of his revelation to us. And we see the Lord Jesus revealed here. Dare I say it, even when the Lord's name isn't mentioned at all. Now, remember that main point that God works in all circumstances. We'll see this, I think, maybe a little bit clearer from this Bible passage if we take into account three questions. They're three points, but they're really three questions, and they are as follows. First, hopeful or hopeless? Second, perfect timing or perfect planning? And then thirdly, God's work or Egypt's work? First, as we consider these questions in light of that main point that God is working in all circumstances, were Moses' parents hopeful or hopeless in this Bible passage that we have before us this morning? Verses 1 through 3 is where we are focusing in for this first question. Were Moses' parents hopeful or hopeless? First of all, who were they? And what was the situation? If you have been with us for the past couple of weeks, you know that we're in a new sermon series. We just finished centennial members how long the sermon series was, maybe they'll know, over 70 weeks of sermons in the Gospel of Luke. And so now we find ourselves in a smaller sermon series, Exodus 1 through kind of 3.5, a little bit into chapter 4 maybe, but a small sermon series on the call of Moses. And as we have seen, the Egyptian political structure, the Pharaoh, he had forgotten what God had done through God's people for Egypt, because God's people had saved not only Egypt, but the whole surrounding countries. The whole world at that time had been saved by the working of God through his people. Well, that didn't matter at all to this most recent Pharaoh, because he forgot about that stuff. In fact, not only did he forget, but he was absolutely terrified of God and God's people, and so he subjugated them. But subjugation wasn't enough, because they were still getting stronger, and so he put in an edict to kill all the baby boys of God's people, of the Hebrews. Kill them. Throw them in the Nile. And that was the edict that had been put in place. And so we see here this very thing playing out in baby Moses' situation, because his mother and father, who, by the way, were priestly before priests were cool, right? This is before God set aside the Levites to be the priestly tribe. And yet, even here, we see this prophecy from Genesis, if you want to go find it, you can, this prophecy from Genesis being fulfilled, that there would be this priestly, this prophetic tribe that would in a particular way proclaim the Lord. And at the end of this sermon, I bet you'll even see the prophet Moses, even as a baby, proclaiming the Lord Jesus in his actions. Can you believe it? I hope that you'll stick around to hear. But that is who these this husband and wife, this man and woman, this father and mother, it's who they were. And that's the situation they were in. And now here's the question that we need to ask ourselves and that I want you to ask. Were Moses' parents hopeful or hopeless? At first glance, you might say, hopeful because Moses' mother, she made a basket. And with that basket, she put bitumen and pitch. So not only did she make a basket, she made a basket boat. That thing wasn't going to sink, right? And that way she could put Moses in it. She could put that basket in the Nile and she wouldn't just be in a hopeless fashion putting a baby in water to drown. And yet, so, of course, hopeful. There is hope. And yet, as I think, even in my own life, have you ever fought a battle that you know you're going to lose? And you fight to the bitter end, but you already know the outcome. I think about my own children. I don't know if I could put them into water knowing that they couldn't swim. Even if I knew the outcome, I think I would make a basket boat with bitumen and pitch that I might not have to see my son drown. Hopeful or hopeless, the Bible actually doesn't answer it. You can take either or. And depending on who you are, depending on where you are, depending on the circumstances that you're in currently, you might choose one or the other. You might choose hopeful or you might choose hopeless. It's not a mark of better or worse as far as people go, more righteous or less righteous. It's just the situations that we find ourselves in. That call to worship, I hope that you heard it. Psalm 116, somebody sang that psalm in the belly of a fish, hopeless, and yet at the end, hopeful. Both in the same psalm. You should check it out in its full entirety. Are you hopeful or are you helpless or hopeless? Did you know that God works in both circumstances? Your hope is not a prerequisite for God to work. In fact, God's work is what gives us hope. Let me say it again. Your hope is not a prerequisite for God to work. He works in all circumstances. Christian believer, do not be discouraged this day if you are hopeless, if you have that belly gut feeling that you can't shake, because God is working. And we see that in this Bible text. Was Moses' mother hopeful or hopeless? We don't know, but we know the end of the story. And we know that God provided even as we move through and we see his working in the big picture. And we'll get there. Our second question, though, to consider as we look at this main point that God is working in all circumstances is this. And it's really focusing in on Moses' sister. We know her name because of later Bible passages. It's Miriam. But here she remains anonymous. Moses' sister. Second question is this. Was it perfect timing or perfect planning? Verses 4-8. The deed has been done, and Moses' sister remains, not the mother. Why? You would think if there was a plan put in place, perhaps the mother was hopeful that she could, with the perfect plan, save her son. And maybe this whole thing was planned out. And so she said, listen, Miriam, I can't stay because it'll be too obvious what we've done. And so I'm going to go over here and you remain and watch and see if the princess, if Pharaoh's daughter comes, and if she does, and if she discovers Moses, well, you know what to say. Say that I am ready to nurse this child and to provide this child the sustenance that he needs. Don't say that I'm his mother, though. And we can plan this out to where your little baby brother will be saved. It's a plan, right? And so Miriam, Moses' sister, remains and watches. Or if perhaps this wasn't a plan, we don't know which one it was. Perhaps Miriam waited to see. I can think of Mary Emmeline, my 4-year-old, and her close connection with my 4-month-old, with Carwin. I can think and know that she would, without the shadow of a doubt, remain, even at 4 years old, and wait to see what in the world was going on, because she would have no idea. Was it planned or was it not? Either way, she remained to wait and see. Was it perfect timing or perfect planning on Miriam's part? In other words, did Moses' family seize an opportunity that they weren't expecting? She's just there, Miriam, and says, whoa, This is happening. I can't believe it. Miriam is older than Moses. Probably, if you think about how she's speaking, maybe she's 7, 8, 9, 10-ish. Was this a plan? Or did all of these pieces fall into place and did it just flow this way? Do you go with the flow? Or do you try to build a dam to control that flow? Think about your own life. As we think about hopeful and hopeless, that's not the only way that God works in different circumstances. There are personality types, right? Think about our church or your own families, type A and type B, where certain individuals, they will build dams on a river to make sure that that flow is going exactly where they thought it was going to go. And then there are others who jump on the raft and just go and see where the Lord takes them. And type A says to type B, that's crazy. And type B says to type A, I can't believe that you would spend all that time when the Lord is working in all our circumstances. There are these different ways in which this works, and we see it here in this Bible text. As we consider, was this a highly articulated, genius-level, kind of suspense, thriller, movie-style plot where the plan played itself out perfectly and the end hit and Moses is saved and the credits roll and we say, whoa, I never saw that coming. I can't believe they planned all that out. It plays out like that if we think about it. Or was it just more natural and we think, whoa, what a shot in the pocket watch moment. It's what one of my grandfathers say, I'm not going to watch a movie unless he gets shot in the pocket watch. In other words, he doesn't want to see something sad, right? He just wants to see these positive things. You say, wow, I didn't expect that. I really thought a crocodile was going to get that baby because the Nile is infested with crocodiles. And in all likelihood, by the way, Pharaoh's daughter, the princess, going down, that's why her servants fan out around her. If you read the Bible text, to look for peeping toms and to look for peeping crocodiles. Those were the two in all likelihood, reasons that they would do that. So they can make sure that Pharaoh's daughter doesn't get eaten or that anybody would see her in an intimate way. And so was this perfect timing or perfect planning? Could be either. Well, do you go with the flow? Are you a type B? Or do you build those dams? Do you have that perfect plan that you want to see play out? Type A. God is working in both. Proverbs 21, verse 1, a lovely proverb. The king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will. Whether you simply float down the river of life or you build dams to try to control its flow, in both circumstances, the Lord turns it wherever he will. Neither the type A nor the type B, neither one of those is a prerequisite for God to work in your life. God works in all circumstances. This leads us to our third and final question. And really, this one zooms us out and forces us to stop looking at the individual pieces and to begin to look at the larger situation. Is this God's work or is this Egypt's work? And if you wanted to, you could see this particularly in verses 9 and 10. It is so easy to take God out of a situation. Take our Bible passage this morning. We could do it here. The Lord's name isn't mentioned. The servant got the basket. Pharaoh's daughter took pity. Moses' sister got him back in the family. Moses' mother gave him back to Pharaoh's daughter, and Pharaoh's daughter adopted him into the royal family. This is people doing what they want to do. No matter what, we see that, right? And we do the same thing in our own situations too. What have you been up to in this COVID-19 season? It's probably pretty easy for us to make a list of all the things we have done or all the things that we do. It's as simple as thinking about it and typing it down or writing it down. What have you done? It's very easy for us to color code it, to really magnify and pull out and put onto social media all the positive things, and then to hide and to erase and to quarantine all of the bad things where at least nobody will know about it, even if we do. In this Bible passage, is this God's work or is it Egypt's work? In your life, is it God's work or is it your work? Here's the crazy truth, because you might answer that in different ways. You really could. You say, this is me doing this. The Lord might be blessing it or ordaining it, but I'm the one doing it. Or perhaps depending on your personality, as these things are connected, I hope that you're beginning to see this, maybe in hope or maybe with hopelessness, you say, no, the Lord is working in this. Even as I am moving and breathing, the Lord is doing this. Either way, admitting that God is working is not a prerequisite for God to be working. Let me say it again. Admitting that God is working, in other words, saying, yes, he is working, that's not a prerequisite for God to be working in your life right now, in this very moment. It's a crazy truth, and yet we see it time and time again. God is the one who is extending the hand of grace and mercy to a people unwilling to admit that he is working in the first place, and he is working on their behalf to work for them in salvation and for their good. God is working in all circumstances. Whether you are hopeful or hopeless today, God is working. Whether you are a type A, trying to plan it out and control as much as you can, or that type B, just going with the flow and seeing what is next, God is working in both situations, in all circumstances. Whether you are one who says, we've got to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. If we're not going to do it, who will? Or you are one that says, God is working. He will work either through me or someone, but God is working no matter what. He is working in all of these circumstances because God works in all. And his work, as the Bible tells us, and as I said, is for our good and for our salvation. And we see that clearly in this little baby Moses being picked up out of the water. By the way, that's what Moses means in the Hebrew. Drawn out of the water, picked up out of. That's what Moses means. As we see this little baby Moses being picked up, whether in hope or not, planned or not, by Pharaoh's daughter or his own mother, God worked in the circumstances to set up all the conditions for his people to be saved through Moses. Think about it. Let's zoom out because we know the rest of the story. This baby, he is in a priestly family because he is a priest to God's people. That is, he is the one who is making intercession for them. He's praying for them. He's standing in between God's wrath and the people's judgment. You can find that even in Exodus. This prophet is also conversing with God personally, and then proclaiming that word to God's people. This Moses, in this moment, as a baby, is revealing that sweet and same reality of God's providence and working, because you think, what in the world? A basket boat, the Nile River, a princess, and it's all working out to where Moses' mother is getting paid to do the very thing she wanted to do anyways, which is preserve her son's life. Whether it was a plan or not, it worked out so beautifully because God is working in the circumstance to set up the condition of salvation for his people because they were in slavery. And God is the one who said, I will come for you. I have heard my people's cry, and I'm sending you, Moses. Even as a child, God is setting up the conditions, and we see the very same thing when baby Jesus is born into the world. Even as he is born, and as it were, Jesus is picked up by a sinful people, a people that are, in fact, enslaving Jesus's people. As you see this reality playing itself out, it is hard to separate the baby Moses and the baby Jesus and what God is doing through them. And yet Moses, he's just a shadow of what Jesus fully reveals. Perfection incarnate, fully God, clothing himself in flesh to live a perfect life, not out of his God nature, saying, hey, you know, I'm God, and so I don't have to worry about this. He chose not to do that. That's what the Bible tells us in Philippians 2. He chose to live this life as a human, like me and like you. And yet where we fall short He didn't. Jesus lived the perfect life. Moses sinned. He tried to reveal the Lord Jesus, but he sinned, and he was in the midst of a sinful people. Jesus was perfect in the midst of a sinful people and paid the price that we might no longer call ourselves sinful, but that we might call ourselves holy and righteous because of what Jesus did on the cross, because of his defeat of death, because he, as it were, was born out in this baby basket boat and drawn out into this world of sickness and sin. Because of all of that, that gospel reality, we can stand before the Lord in heaven and the judgment throne and say with full confidence, I deserve to be here because of what Jesus has done for me. Can you believe it? We see it in the baby Moses, and we see it in the baby Jesus. We see it in the gospel that is moving forward over and over and over in the scripture. God revealing that Jesus that would come so many thousands of years later. And yet, consider the next 2,000 years where we find ourselves even more. In these circumstances, God is still working for you, his people, no matter the circumstance, hopeful, hopeless, type A, type B. God working, you working, no matter the circumstance, God is working for you who confess in the Lord Jesus. Confess his name this morning. Reconfess his name this morning. Recommit and prepare yourselves to see how God is working in your life. Amen and amen. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you for a word where your name isn't even mentioned, and yet your work is so clearly plastered across it that we can't stop saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who is and who was and who is to come. Thank you, God. Thank you for your work on our behalf, that you work in all our circumstances, no matter where we find ourselves, because God, this world is crazy, and we find ourselves in the light, we find ourselves in the dark, we find ourselves in the good, we find ourselves in the bad, and yet you are working in all those circumstances for us, your people. Help us, Lord, to see that and to know that and to find comfort there in you, the everlasting arms. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.